At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
All right, there's a verse there, Mitch. It should be through chapter 2, verse 10. 121, Ruth 121 through 2:10. And when you're there, please stand. Ruth chapter 1, excuse me, verse 21 or 22, I think, chapter 2, verse 10. So I think it's number 22. That's what it says on my notes here, so I hope I'm right. Okay? So Naomi returned to Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go into the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor." And she, that is Naomi, said to her, "Go, my daughter." So Ruth departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to a portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." And Boaz said to the servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant in charge of the reapers replied, "She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Thus she came and has remained from morning until now, and she has been sitting in the house for a little while. She took a break. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go from this one, but stay here with my maidens. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded my servants not to touch you. Then when you are thirsty, go to water jars and drink from what the servants draw." And then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me? Since I am a foreigner, you may be seated." In chapter 1, as we're reading along, Ruth is referred to as a daughter-in-law of one of the ladies. Here, when we get to this point, she's referred to this way, as Ruth the Moabitess. And it says it several times in this chapter. Then it stops calling her that, and then starts calling her that again in another chapter. So those hermeneutic students should be taking a clue to that type of thing. Okay? And there's a reason for that as we get here, all right? If you notice the last phrase in this segment that I read to you, she says, "How, why are you paying attention to me since I am a foreigner?" That is an emphasis in this chapter. An emphasis is she is a Gentile. I didn't make that up. That is emphasized by the author. and therefore the Holy Spirit. That's emphasizing the fact that she is a Gentile. So it says, arriving in Bethlehem. So I don't know if you know this, about 5 miles from Jerusalem is Bethlehem. If you go on Google Earth, you can almost sort of stand at the edge of one of the two and almost see the other one. Okay, because this is what's called in the hill country of Judea. All right? And so we know that it was being lived in. Is in the early 14th century B.C. There's something called the Armand Letters that Bethlehem is mentioned in. I'm not going into all that. We've talked about those before. But we know Caleb's grandson was called the father of Bethlehem. So people believe he was one of the first Hebrew settlers to come in to Bethlehem. Okay? And so it's a small village. Change. Okay, that's back in 1898. They didn't have pictures before that, so I can't get you one. Okay? There are some paintings of people, but it's a small village. In this early time, they actually have Westerners that have traveled through it, and then they figured a town of 3,000 to 4,000 at that time. So it's not a big burg. It's a small town or village even at that time. And so you remember last week when we talked about this, that when Ruth and Naomi show up, the whole town's a-chatting. At least the ladies are chatting, because it's not a big town. And so that gives you a little bit of history of that. Now, then it tells us this. Now, God doesn't fill in the pages of the Bible because he needs the extra space. The Bible wasn't big enough, so let's add extra words. He tells us it's the barley harvest. So I put up the Hebrew calendar of the month of Nisan. Now, what day the month started, I couldn't tell you. But so I just pick a month, all right? And so the month of Nisan's important because that's when we would refer to as Easter, okay, and Good Friday and all that. Passover on the 14th, and you can find this stuff in Leviticus 23, all right? And then at Passover, the next day, you start what's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so and there's always a sacred assembly that day, a special holiday, and it's like a Sabbath, you're not supposed to work. All right. So the next day they would begin the barley harvest, because here's why. On the first Sunday, the first day of the week, after Passover, would be the festival of first fruits. So at first fruits, you were expected to take what you reaped first, thus the term first fruits, on that first day of barley harvest, and you would bring it to the priest, and he would lift it up to the Lord. Okay? And then you would continue the festival on unleavened bread for 7 days, ending with a sacred assembly and no work. So it tells us that Ruth's showing up at the beginning of the barley harvest. So was it that day? I don't know. But somewhere in this period of time is when she showed up. So this for us, when's Easter? Yeah. So somewhere around April, because the Hebrew calendar is 360 days, not 365. The religious calendar is, all right, and the farming calendar. So that's why ours changes every year. They do have a civil calendar that runs like ours does, all right? So here's where you can get that in Deuteronomy. Now, this is important. Now, after that, once you start that harvest, you shall count 7 weeks, or 49 days, for yourself, and you shall begin to count 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle at the standing grain. So that would be the day after Passover. So you go out these 49 days, and on the 50th day. So, well, that didn't line up the way I had it lined up. I had that all lined up nice in a row for you, but it didn't work out. So 49 days, the 15th, 15 days, starting from the 16th of the month, you count that day to the 30th of the month. That's 15 days, okay? And then the next month only has 29 days. That's the name of it here. I don't know why that misaligned, but that's what happens when you save from one version of PowerPoint to another. Giving us 44 days, we take 5 days into next month of Sivan. That makes the sixth day. And it's down there. It's called Shavat, all right? I don't know why it did that. What do we call that? 50 days after Passover. What do we call that? Pentecost. There you go. Every year at the Feast of Pentecost, in a Jewish synagogue, they read the story of Ruth. Because we find, I think in verse 23 of chapter 2, that as Boaz invites her, she stays in his fields from the time of beginning of the barley harvest all the way through the wheat harvest, which is at Pentecost. Let me try this again. The harvest of the wheat is at Pentecost. In the New Testament, what starts at Pentecost? The harvest. Yeah, y'all aren't awake yet. I don't know why. Come on. There we go. Okay. So here's another reason why this is important. Let me take a little bunny trail. Can I do that? All right. Let's assume for the sake of argument the 14th is a Thursday. Now notice our calendar here. Okay, down here, their day starts at sundown. So it's halfway into that evening when we start our day. At midnight. Look at me like you know what I'm talking about. There you go. All right. So over here, Wednesday evening for us, Thursday, would be Passover. On that week, you have a problem. Because on that Friday, you can't do any work. What would this day be? And what can you do on that day? No work. Because it would be a normal weekly Sabbath. All right? And then you come to the first fruits. No, I don't know if I put another slide in there or not. No, okay. Go back. All right. Watch what happens if Christ is crucified, okay, right before Passover. Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. He is called the first fruits by Paul. The first fruits of the resurrection. Okay? And so many people, the reason we have Good Friday is they assume a Sabbath means Saturday. But thing is, you can't work on Passover. You can't work on that day. And you can't work on that day. So the ladies don't come anoint his body till that day. You following me? And it puts Jesus in the grave 3 days and three nights, because Sunday, while it was still dark, so this period of time isn't just significant in the story of Ruth. It's significant in the story of Christ. And if you know anything about the story of Ruth, okay, these are the fields outside Bethlehem. And this period of time, by the way, it would be called the latter rains, the period of the latter rains. But just before the harvest, it comes along and gets some rain just before the harvest. Now, for us, that, I know that looks at the beginning of the year, even of the Hebrew religious year, but it's the latter rains farming season-wise. So, the author here, or God and the Holy Spirit, sets us up as it talks about Ruth and Naomi coming to Bethlehem at the barley harvest time. And again, hermeneutic students, you've learned to recognize this, like good authors, but particularly in Hebrew narrative literature. They give you a quick paraphrase, a little piece, and then they go into details. They give you the point of it all, and then they give you the details. You get the point first, then the details. I always tell my girls, don't give me all the details and I'm trying to figure out the point. Tell me the point up front, then you can give me the details. And in Hebrew narrative does that quite a bit. And it says this, now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, his name's Boaz. So imagine this in the movie, you're making a movie of this. You're telling this story of Naomi and Ruth, and then you cut to this scene of this guy named Boaz, and you find out he's wealthy, and somehow he's related. Now we jump back to the story. It's telling us that there's this wealthy kinsman, and that's it. Now, if you watch any romantic movie, I've got girls, they do that, all right? Especially during Hallmark movie season, you know, Christmas thing. When you first meet the two people, you gotta go, are those the two people in the story that fall in love? Now, they usually don't like each other in the first part of the movie, but that's sort of in this movie, it's setting up, wait a minute, why is he throwing this guy into the story? All right, now we know the story, but imagine if you didn't. This is the first time you're reading Ruth, you're listening to the story of these people who are suffering, it's lost everything, and then they're throwing this near kinsman thing. Then it says again, Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go glean the fields. Notice what she asked to do. She was basically asking permission to meet Naomi's need and go out and beg. There's where the law of gleaning is found in the Old Testament. So as you heard me tell the kids, as you were a farmer, Okay? You would leave the edges, and whatever you fell out of the basket along the way, whatever fell out of the reaper along the way, it's not like they had mechanical ones, that was expected to be left, okay, for those who needed welfare. One thing I want you to note, the Bible did have a welfare system, but you had to work for it. See, when anybody would tell you you're a Christian and you're just in compassion, you don't want to do anything for the poor, says, no, I just want to follow the Bible model. I think they should have to work for what they get. But that might, you know, I'll leave that alone. That's too much politics for one time. Okay? So, but she asked permission from Ruth, basically, to be a servant to Ruth. Or Naomi, excuse me. Naomi's the old lady. Ruth is the younger one. Ruth needs an answer to her situation. Is that what she goes and looks for? Well, you say, yeah, but she's feeding herself too. Yeah, but she doesn't have to. At any moment, she can walk away. But why did she ask permission from Naomi? Huh? Yeah, to honor her. She was doing this to honor Naomi, not just because she needed to eat. And then it tells us that when she gets in this field of the, like I just showed in the last picture, that this servant, Boaz, just happens now. No, you know what? She happens to come to this field about this guy we were introduced to. And then while she's there, he happens to show up. And he asked this unnamed servant, who's the babe? And come on, we already know the Moabite women were known for their attractiveness. Therefore, Balaam, remember, convinces the Moabite king, so you just send your pretty woman over to Israel and that'll get him. Remember that? We talked about that. Okay. And so this unnamed servant, that's supposedly this guy in the blue, I suppose, in this picture I got, all right, gives her this information. Now, I wanted you to know that that is important. And that's in verse 5. And Boaz said to his servant, when we see an unnamed servant, this is not original with me. This has been around for millennia. Well, not quite two millennia, but several hundred years, this idea, so it didn't come from me. If we go to Genesis chapter 24, you don't have to go there, okay? If you recall, Abraham the father is looking for a bride for his only son, Isaac. He sends the unnamed servant to get a bride, by the way, a Gentile bride. To go get a Gentile bride for his son. That servant, oh, and by the way, it's funny, I got to read this, because this is when Abraham, the servant says, well, what if she doesn't want to come? And this is what Abraham says to the, at this point, unnamed servant. The Lord God of heaven will send his angels before you. Please keep track of that. His angels before you, and you will take a wife for my son. So he goes and gets, this is Rachel, goes and makes the proposal to Rachel. She accepts the fact that she's going to go marry Isaac, the son, sight unseen. Then the unnamed servant gives her gifts. The unnamed servant brings her to Isaac, but Isaac happens to be looking outside. He was meditating, and they meet together. And then Isaac gets her and brings him into his father's house. Can anybody see the symbolism there, the typology? Especially when we find out in I think it's chapter 12, that the name of this servant, unnamed servant, is Eliezer. Anybody have any clue what that name means? God, my helper. Now, if you go to the NASB or the CEV or any of those other modern translations, this is how it reads. Your King James might read slightly different, but Jesus says this, and John is the one that uses this term over and over again. And this is Jesus speaking. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring into your remembrance what I have said to you. If you go on in John in chapters 16, chapters 14, and other places, the Holy Spirit is God the Helper. Eliezer, God my helper, is sent to get a bride for the Father's only son. Have you got it yet? He brings gifts to the bride. The bride accepts the son as her husband, sight unseen. the son meets the bride. That's going to be in next week's lesson. Okay, meets the bride and takes her to the father's house. So here we have the unnamed servant introducing what will be the Gentile bride to her kinsman redeemer in the fields of Bethlehem. And just happened to be those fields, okay? And if you recall, anybody know what tradition says happened in those fields? Okay, well, let's back up a little bit. A couple centuries ago, a Jewish fellow, he ends up converting to Judaism, is studying all this. And you remember when we were in Genesis and we talked about the Shepherd's Tower? Anybody remember that at all? Okay, the Shepherd's Tower was a lookout station over the fields of Bethlehem. Okay, where these shepherds would watch over the flocks by night. I think you're starting to get the picture. Okay, they watch over the flocks by night. What their job was to watch was the Passover and the sacrificial lambs. They had to be a certain distance of travel to be able to get to Jerusalem in a set period of time and within the legal parameters of the law at the time, how far you can travel on holy days. So Bethlehem's only 5 miles. Somewhere in those fields in between is the Shepherd's Tower, where shepherds kept watch over the sacrificial lambs. Okay? It is in that field, tradition says, where Naomi meets Boaz. It is in those fields where the angels, sort of like Abraham said to his unnamed servant, the angels are going to go before you. That's the significance. And when you and I read it, we don't see it so much. But when you're a Hebrew, who their idea of prophecy isn't just foretelling, when they see prophecy, prophecy is about pattern. And they look for repetitive patterns. So this typology is all over in the book of Ruth. Oh, there it is. Alfred Edersheim was the guy who did that, by the way. And he lived from 1825 to 1889. Okay? And you could read the Targum of Jonathan, which is, again, Hebrew writing, and the Talmud talks about those same things. But here's the interesting part. It says this in the text, and Ruth just happened, or in the King James, happed, to cut land on this field. She did not know it was Boaz's field. She does not know that Boaz is a kinsman. It just happened that she landed on these fields. I was listening, and I can't remember, is it John Colton, I think his name? Anyway, he's a preacher on the radio, and I'm listening to tell this story. He was a more robust young fellow in high school, but his brothers were track stars, especially distance runners, okay? And so he wanted to turn out for track and signed up to be a distance runner, but he was well-rounded. And he would just die. He was talked about when he'd go into the locker room afterwards and lose his lunch. He'd get sicker and then he got sicker. Then he got more sick, and then he got more sick. And he ends up going seeing the doctor and find out he's got pneumonia and, oh, I'm trying to remember, some other major problem. So he has to go into recovery, all right? And as they got him on the antibiotics and everything, he still wants to hang out with the guys on the track team. So after he's good, well enough, he starts hanging out with them. Walking around to do, and he walks over to one side where they're throwing a discus. You guys know what a discus is, right? And so he just starts goofing off and throwing the discus. He gets a scholarship to seminary later because he threw the discus. Hang on. You mean he got sick? That sickness moved him to a place that got him a scholarship that he goes to seminary that becomes a pastor because he got sick? It just happened that. Okay? So often life is that way for us, but we don't necessarily see. We're like Ruth at the time. We've happened to. Now, hang on. How did Ruth get here? She lost her husband, her father-in-law, her brother-in-law. Had to travel, like we showed the pictures last week, through that desolate place. And now she's trying to honor her mother-in-law, and she just happens. I'd like to read some scriptures for you. And this one you've probably heard, Proverbs 37 and 23. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Jeremiah 10 and 23. I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps. Then more in Proverbs 16 and 9. In his heart, a man plans his course, big picture, but the Lord determines his steps. 20 and 24. The man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand the Lord's way? 19 and 21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that would prevail. 21 and 30. There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. Now, I would imagine knowing Elimelech's lineage, knowing what God said to Satan in the garden. I'm sure Satan's going, I got to do something to mess with this idea. This guy's going to come along in a particular lineage that's going to mess and crush my head. I got to do something about this. But he forgot something. But anyhow, all this suffering, all this difficulty, all these things that went wrong. When the car breaks down, when the kids get sick, when the doctor says, when those things happen, did you know he's still ordering your steps? We feel like everything's come apart, but he's still ordering your steps.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.